This is the year of the woman, the persistent woman, the kick-ass and take-names woman. On today's 15 with the Author, my guest, best-selling author Karen Carbo, shares with us how she came to write In Praise of Difficult Women, Life Lessons from 29 Heroines Who Dared to Break the Rules. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
In the introduction, you say, a difficult woman is a woman who insists on inhabiting the full range of her humanity. You know that scares some women, and some people might not like those women. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Correct. Well, you know, it actually, as I wrote the book, it became very clear that it doesn't take much to have other people think that you are a difficult woman. You know, one of the other things that I said in the introduction is that a difficult woman is someone who doesn't get too upset when she upsets other people, and also isn't too concerned with the cultural expectations of her time. So, you know, the deal pretty much is that, you know, if you're a woman who doesn't stay in your lane or doesn't take pains to kind of craft a personality that's going to be pleasing to others, you risk being called difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'll just say this right now, because not too long ago, I had someone in our studio that left crumbs all over. And I told that person that you cannot do that. And it's, I got to look like, aren't you a bee? And I thought, okay. Anyway, had to get that one off my mind. And the thing is, it's about, there's a respect there that you go, well, really? So, yeah.
Exactly. And you could have, and you know what? To continue on that vein, the person could have left and you could have easily gotten out the little dust rags and cleaned up and, and you know, but people need to be called to task sometimes. And I think the difficult woman, more often than not, steps up to the plate and does that.
And I happened to do that and got pretty much called a difficult woman. But what?
Well, bravo! Good for you.
Thank you. What? When did your interest, in particular, in difficult women really bloom?
Well, you know, it's something actually that I've been passionate about pretty much my whole life. You know, the first difficult woman, and she's in the book, who was not my grandmother, who was a difficult woman, but the first sort of public difficult woman for me was Jane Goodall. My parents had a subscription to National Geographic magazine, and before I could even read, I would page through, and there would be Jane in Africa with the chimps, and I was just swept away by sort of the scope of her life and the adventure, and she looked like such a nice person, you know, but there she was out there, you know, having the kind of life that really I dreamed of. So, you know, this was sort of something that was kind of always in my wheelhouse. I think, too, I was talking to a friend of mine when we were in elementary school. There was a reading series that sort of had like Florence Nightingale in it and Amelia Earhart in it. And I loved those books, those little paperback books. And then, you know, sort of more poignantly, when I was a freshman in college, my mother died quite suddenly, and as it happened, I was the eldest woman left in my family. I didn't have older sisters, aunts, my grandmothers had both passed, and at that point in time, I really became absorbed in like these massive biographies of Martha Gellhorn, who's in the book, Frida Kahlo, and I just sort of, I found solace in their lives. I found solace in the fact that they were determined to be who they were, and also, you know, sometimes they had difficulties, but they weren't willing to change who they were to kind of get away from having problems in their lives. I think that's sometimes something else that women do is that if times are rough, they think, well, I need to be different. Yeah. I need to be less than. I need to be kinder. I need to just suck it up, you know. And, you know, these women were not willing to do it. They were who they were, and everybody else, was going to have to adjust.
And I think that's what I love the book. And again, In Praise of Difficult Women. Yeah, thank you. By Karen Carbo. And in the book, there are the women you highlight are unapologetic. And I love that part, from political icons to fashion icons, authors to Amelia Earhart. How did you choose the 29 women in your book?
It was it's a long process, let me tell you.
I'll bet.
I really wish I had kept kind of the roster as it evolved. The book was put under contract in 2015, so it's been, several years of kind of looking and refining. And the basic requirement was that I felt inspired and energized and passionate about these women. I felt passionate about their stories and about their personalities and how they moved through life. So that was sort of the bottom line. Beyond that, I really wanted to strive to have a diverse roster. I wanted women from different countries, different ethnicities, different races, different socioeconomic places in the world, really so that I could convey that, a difficult woman can be found anywhere. She can come from anywhere. And then beyond that, I also wanted there to be a diversity of personality.
Yes.
I think when we think of difficult women, we often think of outspoken women. We think of women who are up there at the on the dais giving a speech or writing a book. But there are also, some introverted women. There's funny women. There's quietly devious women. There's all different kinds of difficult women. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to reflect that. So we are not all just cranky,
Oh, that's perfect.
But there's a lot of different ways to be difficult.
Absolutely. We're talking with Karen Carbo, the author of In Praise of Difficult Women. What were some of your favorite stories and insights?
Oh, there's so many, many of them. But I have to say that one of my favorite stories was about Frida Kahlo, who, we all know Frida now, but in her lifetime, she was not well known. She was known primarily as the wife of the great Mexican muralist Diego Rivera. And there was a moment in time, they traveled to the United States a lot, and it's interesting, they were, they took up with the Rockefellers, these bohemian Mexican communists, took up with the Rockefellers, and Frida found herself at a fancy society party. She had not sold any paintings. She was not known, she was just sort of a little dabbler. And Claire Booth Luce commissioned her to paint a portrait of a woman that she knew, a young woman who had quite tragically plunged to her death off one of the skyscrapers in New York City. And Claire Booth Luce wanted to present this painting to Dorothy Hale's mother. That was the name of the young woman, the young socialite, Dorothy Hale's mother. So this was going to be Frida's first big commission. And she knew from being married to Diego Rivera that rich people commissioning portraits is how you begin to make money at this. So she went home and she painted her portrait, and Claire Booth Luce told her what the picture was for, that she was going to present it as a remembrance to Dorothy Hale's bereaved mother. Mm-hmm. And Frida painted what turned out to be one of her masterpieces, but it was a quite extraordinary and upsetting portrait of the skyscraper, and then a woman falling off not once, not twice, but three times, and she gets bigger and bigger as she hits the bottom. And then on the very bottom of the frame, there's a little bit of red paint to symbolize blood. So Claire Booth Luce was horrified. And
yeah.
I keep thinking that if this was your first big chance,
yeah.
I mean, I put myself in that position, and I thought, oh, I would paint the prettiest,
yes,
most beautiful, conventional portrait that I could muster, because here I was going to have this patron, and, it was for her mother, the dead woman's mother. I mean, but Frida just went along her Frida way, and she created this very unique portrait that was true to her. And of course, Claire Booth Luce actually wanted to just throw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who was writing for the New Yorker at that time said, well, wait a minute. Let's hold off here. And he took the portrait. And of course, it is now considered one of Frida's masterpieces.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. What, as you researched these women, what did you find to be most surprising? Is it in their connections or not?
Most surprising. You know, because they are, I mean, my interests are far-reaching, as mm-hmm. I think you've seen from the list of women in the book.
Yes.
You know, I do think that at the end of the day, well, first of all, you know, we never can forget that we are all the daughters of the time in which we are born and raised,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that no one escapes from their own era, especially women, because I think that women just tend to be more at the mercy of whatever the various cultural expectations are of their time.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout, you know, the oldest difficult woman, I believe, is Coco Chanel, born in 1883. So you know, it's 150 yeah. years, give or take, of women. And regardless of when they grew up and when they came of age, they pretty much took a dim view of whatever the cultural expectations were. It really was not on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lesson for us there now, especially since we're sort of, you know, between the internet, with the internet, we're like inundated with how culture expects us to behave and to look and to act. And I think these women, they were just too busy living their lives and doing other things to really
yeah.
pay too much attention.
Yeah. Karen Carbo, she is the author of In Praise of Difficult Women. I guess as you go through the book, you obviously ponder some questions. One of those that I had is, what is it that makes society seem both fascinated and fearful of women who get angry, who don't apologize for everything, and actually step out of our place?
You know, if I knew, I would have written another book and made millions. You know, I think, and this is based on nothing, okay? This
mm-hmm.
is not based on any sort of research or psychological. I took psychology 101 in college, so this mm-hmm. is exactly the limit.
That's what we're getting. Okay.
But I really feel that, you know, on some level, we really do look, and maybe it's like on our lizard brain, looks to women to keep the peace, to build consensus. You know, we all, you know, if you think of back to being like clans people, and I don't mean, well, that's bad, but tribal people,
mm-hmm.
And the men would go out and, you know, hunt. So obviously they had to be out killing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if women, as the makers of the home and the tender of the hearth,
yeah.
and the keeper of families together, however that translates into everybody's culture around the world, I think if women are willing to be conflictual,
mm-hmm.
it just people get a little nervous, because if women are not interested in making sure that everybody's happy, does civilization stay together?
How is this all going to work?
I mean, how, you know, we can't have both genders on the same side of the seesaw, right? Like
right.
somebody has to be a warrior and somebody has to be, you know, has to smooth things over.
Yeah.
And that's the best I got, Terry,
mm-hmm.
because
well, that's pretty good.
You know, because women get upset with other women being
oh, yeah.
difficult as well. It's not, mm-hmm. I mean, we can't, we like to, you know, I'm happy to blame men for everything, but,
yeah.
kidding, but, you know, it's but it's also, you know, women, if a woman is too difficult,
mm-hmm.
I think we get a little, you know, shaken up. So it's a very yeah. interesting and complex issue, but I do think,
well,
and again, here's my psychology training here. I do think that a lot of acting out and sometimes, you know, really cranky, grouchy behavior that women exhibit is because they do not feel they can be true to themselves. So it, yeah. like, squirts out in a less productive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to get back, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, eventually if you betray yourself long enough, you know, you're going to get angry at things that people don't understand why you're so mad. Because really what you're mad about is that you are not being able to, you know, as I said in the introduction, inhabit mm-hmm. the full range of your humanity. You know,
mm-hmm.
that you're so, you know, we wear these like corsets of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just take them off, I think that maybe initially we might be difficult, but our behavior will be much less, I think, rancorous, because, you know, to get back to the crumbs you were talking about, you just said, please, you know, and that was it, done and done, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But, you know, it's funny, I've got a vision of all these women releasing corsets and this huge whoosh. But again, we're talking with Karen Carbo. She is the author of In Praise of Difficult Women. I do have just a couple more quick questions. One of those is, have you met any of the women, and how have they received your book?
You know, I have had an opportunity to had interviewed a couple of them just for other, like, magazine pieces, because mm-hmm. I've done some magazine work as well. And I also have heard from, I've gotten some lovely letters from Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton and J.K. Rowling saying, you know, good on you and thank you for including me. So, and very nice letters. So that was very sweet. I haven't heard from everybody, but generally they seem to be on board.
Oh, that's great.
I was worried that they might say, I'm not difficult, but they're very happy to. What are you talking about, woman?
Yeah. Oh. Well, Karen, thank you so much for your time. The book, In Praise of Difficult Women, Life Lessons from 29 Heroines Who Dared to Break the Rules. Karen Carbo, again, thank you for your time. And do you have another book in the works?
You know, right now I'm trying to decide. I'm working on a novel, and, you know, you never know, volume 2 could be coming down the road. Fortunately, there's more than 29 difficult women out there.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it.
All right.
Thank you
so much, Terry.
Bye.
Bye.